Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Please take note of the announcements in the back of the bulletin. There is a lot of information back there. I have a couple of announcements here then too. Is the offering envelopes are ready for 2025. If you haven't picked yours up yet, they are now in the narthex back here on the table. So as you leave, please pick up your offering envelopes. And then also on that same table is the baptismal witness sheets, so we ask that everybody sign those as you are a witness to the baptism today. And have announcements?
Good morning. Next Sunday is the beginning of Advent, and back in the back, in the narthex, in the annex, and downstairs in the basement, we have the Advent calendar for Christmas, and it's an opportunity to donate canned goods to YAM. Each day has a suggested item. The lists will be in the newsletter, and then these will go home today with Sunday school students, and they're available for you to pick up if you'd like to remember YAM this season. Thank you.
Thank you, Rebecca. Zoe, you got an announcement?
Just to let everybody know, there will not be Christmas program practice this week, but on next Sunday, December 1st, there will be Christmas program practice from 2 to 4. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Zoe.
Good morning. I just want to let everybody know that at both entrances and in the basement and in the fellowship hall, there are sign-up sheets for caroling. We'll be caroling on the 15th of December. We will leave the parking lot at 4 o'clock, and then after come back and have soup and hot cocoa and crackers and all that good stuff. So y'all come join us, and let's share the fun.
All right. Thank you, Lori. Are there any other announcements? Anybody else? If not, then I invite you to rise for the brief order for confession and forgiveness. We begin this service in the remembrance of our baptism, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and what we have done. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may find your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing our opening hymn, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Thank you.
congregation may be seated. Y'all can come on up. I ask that the congregation open up your green hymnals, the LBW, and turn to page 121. That's page in the beginning of the book, not the hymn number, but the page number 121, and follow along with the baptismal service. In holy baptism, our gracious Heavenly Father liberates us from sin and death by joining us to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are born children of a fallen humanity. In the waters of baptism, we are reborn children of God and inheritors of eternal life. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, which is the body of Christ. As we live with Him and with His people, we grow in faith, love, and obedience to the will of God. In Christian love, you have presented this child for holy baptism. You should faithfully, therefore, bring her to the services of God's house and teach her the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments. As she grows in years, you should place in her hands the Holy Scriptures and provide for her instruction in the Christian faith, that living in the covenant of her baptism and in communion with the church, she may lead a godly life until the day of Jesus Christ. Do you promise to fulfill these obligations? The Lord be with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Holy God, mighty Lord, gracious Father, we give you thanks, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters and you created heaven and earth. By the gift of water, you nourish and sustain us and all living things. By the waters of the flood, you condemn the wicked and save those whom you had chosen, Noah and his family. You led Israel by the pillar of cloud and fire through the sea, out of slavery into the freedom of the promised land. In the waters of the Jordan, your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Spirit. By the baptism of his own death and resurrection, your beloved son has set us free from the bondage to sin and death and has opened the way to the joy and freedom of everlasting life. He made water a sign of the kingdom of cleansing and rebirth. In obedience to his command, we make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Pour out your Holy Spirit, so that she who is here baptized may be given new life. Wash away the sin of her who is cleansed by this water, and bring her forth as an inheritor of your glorious kingdom. To you be given praise and honor and worship through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church, the faith in which we baptize. Do you renounce all the forces of evil, the devil, and all his empty promises? Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Okay. Just hold her over. We'll make her cry again.
Elizabeth Marie Gohmert, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, and you can hold her up. Okay. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for freeing your sons and daughters from the power of sin and for raising them up to a new life through this holy sacrament. Pour your Holy Spirit upon Elizabeth, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence. Elizabeth, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever.
Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
Let us pray. O God, the giver of all life, look with kindness upon the father and mother of this child. Let them ever rejoice in the gift you have given them. Make them teachers and examples of righteousness for their children. Strengthen them in their own baptism so they may share eternally with their children the salvation you have given them through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Through baptism, God has made this new sister a member of the priesthood we all share in Christ Jesus, that we may proclaim the praise of God and bear his creative and redeeming word to all the world. We welcome you into the Lord's family. We receive you as fellow member of the body of Christ, child of the same heavenly Father, and worker with us in the kingdom of God. Peace be with you. And I think we have a few presentations this morning.
On behalf of the women of the church, we'd like to present Elizabeth with the blanket.
On behalf of the women of St. Paul, we'd like to present Elizabeth with her first Bible, and as she grows in her years, teach her God's word to carry with her throughout her lifetime. God's love and blessings.
And may I have her?
Maybe you can
have her. All right. Let me see. All right. She'll be fine. She'll be fine. There she is. This is our newest member. You want to hold her? There you go. Okay, no, no, no. Thank you. We continue with the salutation and prayer of the day. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, whose will it is to restore all things to your beloved Son, whom you anointed priest forever and king of all creation, grant that all the people of the earth, now divided by the power of sin, may be united under the glorious and gentle rule of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first lesson is from the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verses 9 through 10, verses 13 and 14. As I watched, thrones were set in place, and an ancient one took his throne. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, and its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and flowed out from his presence. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood attending him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. As I watched in the night visions, I saw one like a human being coming with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the ancient one and was presented before him. To him was given dominion and glory and kingship, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and his kingship is one that should never be destroyed. The word of the Lord. We will read Psalm 93 responsively. The Lord is king. He has put on splendid apparel. The Lord has put on his apparel and girded himself with strength. He has made the whole world so sure and cannot be moved. Ever since the world began, your throne has been established. You are from everlasting. Mightier than the sound of many waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, mightier is the Lord who dwells on high.
Your testimonies are very sure, and holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever and forevermore.
The second lesson is from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 4b through 8. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his Father and God, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come. The Almighty, the word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 18th chapter. Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priest have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is Christ the King Sunday. It's the last Sunday in the Christian church year. Next week starts with Advent once again, and we go through the cycle. But throughout this year, we've gone through the the whole life cycle of Jesus. We started with Advent, the preparation and the announcement that Jesus is coming, that the Savior of the world is going to be coming. And we celebrated the birth of Jesus, his baptism, and his ministry throughout his lifetime, the many lives that he touched while he was on his earth, his teaching, his preaching, and then also we went with him to Jerusalem, to that cross, and then to the resurrection and the ascension. We made it all the way through the year, and now we conclude the year with Christ the King Sunday, celebrating Christ as King. Our first lesson for today speaks of God as King, and Jesus as well then as being the King. And it gives a picture of a throne room, a glorious, huge hall. And from the throne and from God is emanating smoke and fire and bright lights and glory just coming from the Father. And there are thousands of attendants around him. And then tens of thousands there giving him praise and worship. The second lesson also speaks of Christ as King as well then too, of that Jesus will be returning. And when he does return, everyone will know who he is, even those who had crucified him. Everyone on earth will know who Christ the King is at that point. And then we come to the gospel lesson for today. And that gives another picture of who this King is. And it's somewhat confusing to know who the King is or how Christ is the King in our lives. Pilate was sort of a king, not really a king, but more of a governor, or he was the leader, but whatever he said, that would happen, because he was in control, he was in charge, he was the top dog of that region at that time. So Pilate knew what it was to be a king, but we don't necessarily know what it is a king, or maybe we get confused, but Pilate was confused as well then too with this Jesus who was presented before him. And so what do we think of as king? Am I the king? Do I make my own decisions? Is my world revolving around me? Are the decisions that I make simply for the best of my life? Or is my family king? Everything that I do revolves around my family. Make sure that the family is taken care of, and I will be willing to give and sacrifice anything I can for my family. Is my family king? Or how about my work? Should I be devoting so much time and energy to my work? Is my work the king of my life? And that takes precedent over everything else. Or maybe it's the world around me, to make sure that all my neighbors and my community and even the nation that I live in, or maybe even the broader world, that is taken care of, that we want to leave this place a better place than we ever came, and so I dedicate all my time, my energy to the world. The king is my world. We have a lot of choices to make, and it's confusing a lot of times. How do we go in different directions? Who is king in our lives? Pilate had a lot of questions about this Jesus who was presented before him. And Pilate asked a number of questions. The first questions he asked are you the king of the Jews? Pilate was somewhat in a tight situation here. It was kind of a no-win situation for Pilate. He didn't want to be making a judgment on Jesus. He looked at it as, either way I go, I'm going to be making the wrong decision. I'm going to be making people mad at me. Jesus was brought to him by the Jewish leadership, and they said, he is a traitor. He is claiming to be a king. Execute him. And the religious leaders, even though the Roman government was in charge, the Roman government handled things by giving the local government most of the control over the daily things of life. And so the Jewish council had much authority. I mean, they governed the mood of what was going on in Palestine at that time. And so if he made them angry and did not condemn Jesus, they would be angry and they would probably start riots. But then at the same time, if Jesus, if he said Jesus is condemned, then all those who were his followers would also maybe start up a riot. Pilate saw this as no easy win solution, so he thought he'd start out just point blank asking Jesus the question, are you the king of the Jews? Because if Jesus said yes, well, that was an easy out for Pilate, because by Roman law, anybody who was claiming to be king could be executed. That would be treason, and you would be hung on a cross. And Rome did not have much tolerance for those things. So that would have been an easy out for Pilate. The question would have been answered right then and there. But Jesus didn't answer in that way. And Pilate knew that Jesus didn't have an army, that he did have some followers that were tagging along, but it didn't seem to be much of a threat. So he knew that he did not have what he needed to condemn Jesus at this point. And so he asked another question. He says, what have you done? Now see, with this question then, if Pilate could catch Jesus, again, his decision would be easy. Anything that Jesus would answer that would go against the rule of Rome would give Pilate an out, and he could condemn Jesus. Did Jesus raise an army? No. Was he meeting in secret? No, not particularly. Was he trying to raise people up to follow him? Well, many people did follow him, but at the same time, that doesn't, what he was speaking and what he was saying was not anything that would go against Roman rule necessarily. He had no palace, he had no might, he had no power, he had no wealth. So what kind of king is this Jesus as he stands here before Pilate with a crown of thorns, who was also beaten, who was also just emaciated from no sleep and from the ill treatment that he had received, the torture that he had received? As he stands here, he looks nothing like a king, standing here in dirty rags. And Jesus answers, though, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over. And that gave Pilate a bit of an out, because Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. And so Pilate says, so you are a king. Jesus is a king, and he is put here for a purpose, and that's the way he answers. He says he came for one thing. He came on a mission to proclaim the truth, to bring the truth to people. And so what does this truth look like? What does this king look like? And it kind of goes along with that last question, too, of what have you done? And so what has Jesus done as king? He has healed the sick. He has raised the dead. He touched people who were untouchable. He spoke to people he was not supposed to speak. He broke the man-made rules of Sabbath. He spoke to women when he wasn't supposed to speak to women. He ate with those he was not supposed to eat with. He angered the religious leadership. Jesus is king, and he speaks the truth, and a lot of times the truth cuts through us, but the truth also brings us much hope. The truth is, Christ is king. Christ came here into this world. God humbled himself, and he became one of us in order to live like us, in order to communicate to us that truth. And it is Christ the king who is the servant, who is willing to do anything for us, even if that meant giving up his life. And so Jesus stands here before Pilate, ready to give up his life for us. And Jesus did. He went to that cross. He died on the cross. He was buried. And he rose again, though, from the dead, bringing us everlasting life. Christ brings us that promise. And there is nothing that can defeat Christ. God's love has shown through this whole life of Christ. As we went through this whole year of Christ the King, we saw what kind of King that he was. He is here to bring us home. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn, Rejoice, the Lord is King. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, King of the universe, all glory and honor is yours. The heavens sing your praise, and from the tops of the tallest mountains to the depths of the deepest seas, the earth proclaims your majesty. Give us vision to see your hand in the beauty of fruitfulness of the world, and strengthen our voices to give thanks for your fatherly generosity. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear
our prayer. Alpha and Omega, you are our beginning and our end. We long for the return of Christ our King and for the reconciliation of all creation to your purpose. Send your Holy Spirit upon those who serve you in your church, all bishops and pastors, all teachers and leaders, all who serve the poor and foster Christian friendship, that faith may be renewed and the light of Christ shine in the dark world. Lord, in your mercy. Loving Father, in your Son, you free us from sin and death. Liberate those who suffer illness or injury, addiction or mental illness, grief or oppression. We pray especially for Joan Gomert, Carl Klein, Alberto Jimenez Jr., Joe Barnes, Rosa Harton, Catherine Glore, Lynn Magura, and the family of Robbie Bolt. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal Father, you are indeed strong to save. Guide the leaders of nations, that they govern in accord with your gracious will. Grant consolation and the promise of new life to those whose lives have been torn apart by natural disaster or accident. Protect from danger all who preserve our lives and our liberties and who fight for the freedom of the oppressed, including aid workers, emergency service personnel, and our military services. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of life, as we prepare to partake of Christ's supper, we beg your forgiveness for our sin, that we might remain in holy communion with you, with those that have gone before us, and with the whole church on earth and in heaven. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O King of Kings, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Christ our King. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated. Wise and gracious God, receive the labor of our hands, these gifts of money, bread, and wine, along with the offering of our lives. Nourish us with the life of your Son, that we might be his body in the world, making known your abundant mercy in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Come, for all is ready. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger. All who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. We sing our closing hymn, "Crown Him with Many Crowns," verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And as we go in peace, we share that peace with each other. The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.